Welcome to Life Church Hurley's audio podcast. We hope this teaching will challenge you in any season of life you may be in. Thank you for joining us. We hope you'll enjoy.
All right. Well, good morning. We give you two countdowns. Good stuff. All right. Let me ask you a question. Who's ready for the Word of God this morning? So, we got a little treat for you this morning. Y'all ready? I think it's going to be spectacular. I'm not even going to preface it because I don't want to take anything away. I think it's going to be fantastic. So, if you would, please welcome Miss Terry Bowles this morning.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What? Don't be demanding. Gee, all right.
Love you too.
Wow, it looks really different up here. So, yes, I am nervous. So, this came about in a really weird way, as things often do between the pastor and me. And I'll tell you about that in a minute. So yesterday afternoon, I was sitting there and I realized it was really for real going down. And my chest started going, oh my gosh. And my brain started swirling and we hit Cat 4 hurricane strength. And I was like, okay, we can't do this. We cannot do this. Calm down. And so, I said, all right, we need some scripture. Let's get some scripture. And Isaiah 26:3 says, you will keep in perfect peace the one whose mind is focused on you because she trusts in you. So I was like, okay, we can do this. Focus. It's like I tell my students all the time, right, Terry? Right, Megan? Where's Megan? There she is. So then in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. Oh, and I didn't give them notes, so they're not going to put them up on the screen as fast as you might be used to. And if you don't trust me, which you shouldn't, you should always look them up on your own. So just jot them down, etc. 1 Peter 3:15 says, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the hope that you have. And if you were paying attention to Leah, she started my message for me with the hope. And Megan and I have talked about hope with the students this week. We've got to have hope. And I think that's a good New Year's message. Isaiah 55:11 is another one of my favorites. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. And all three of those gave me a sense of peace to actually get started. So I did start settling down. Now, you may wonder how it is that I came up to be up here this morning. Obviously, I've heckled Pastor Stephen one too many times, sent him one too many texts, joked around just a little too much. For years, we picked back and forth with him asking me if I had the sermon that morning or on such and such a Sunday. And I always tell him, yeah, heck yeah, I'm ready. Let's go. And I always ask him to cut the air conditioner down, but here I am sweating again. So Friday, yes, as in 2 days ago, I texted Pastor Stephen saying, I knew it had only been a week, but that it felt like we had missed a whole Sunday somewhere. So much had happened. And I ended my text with, "Who's ready for the word?" And his response was, "Ha! It does seem like forever. If you could preach this Sunday, that would be great. Smiley face." Yeah. I responded that I could talk about Jesus all day, every day, which is true. And several texts later, here I am. Please keep in mind that I am much more comfortable writing than I am speaking. And I did write everything out. So, most of you know that I taught high school in Jackson County for 33 years, and I currently teach GED and career readiness at the Men's Home of Grace campus in Van Cleve and the Women's Home of Grace campus in Goshen. I started going to church 9 months before I was born, so my testimony is not so much about being the vilest of sinners in the world's eyes, but it's more about all the things that God has done in my life to take me from being a self-absorbed little brat to a person who loves on recovering drug addicts and tries to teach them a little math. And I was going to make a joke here about from meth to math, but it just, I scribbled it out and it still came out. I warned you. I warned you. I'll get to that later. So I know that my church family loves me and sees in me things I don't see in myself. And you may rest assured that the feelings are mutual. Most of the time I sit up here behind my BFF or beside her. And that's so I can focus better. But sometimes my tummy demands that I sit by the back door. So when I sit back there and I look over the crowd of friends I've amassed over the years, I see so much and feel so much. And I know parts of so many stories and my emotions get a real workout. Sometimes my heart is full of joy because I know about a personal battle that has been won. Sometimes it's full of pride because I see something that God did. And sometimes it's full of sadness because a personal hurt was shared with me. So I don't have a lot of focus when I sit back there. And while Leah and the worship team have a regular bird's eye view of everything from up here, we get a special view down there, too, in the audience. Like the couple sitting in front of you, holding hands and praying together. Or the teenager that goes to another teenager and prays for it. Men or women gathering around one of their own at the altar and calling on God. The sweet, sweet sound of the congregation worshiping together when the band stops. Surely God is in this place. But God is not only in this place. He goes with every believer wherever he goes. In Galatians 2:20, Paul states, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me." Christ lives in me. Wherever I go, he goes. I think that was a song. When you go to school, he's there in you. When you go to Chevron, he's there in you. When you go to the hospital, he's there in you. When you go to USA, he's there in you. When you go to the bank, when you go to the Mexican restaurant. Heck, God is even in you when you go to Walmart. But let me go back to us seeing things in each other and some of the things that I see as I look around. We are all different. And we have different gifts, callings, and abilities, and I love that. So in 1 Corinthians 12:12-27, which is really long and I'm not reading all that, Paul is talking about the body of Christ. The body is one body, but has many members. And last semester, my 17-year-old niece took an anatomy and physiology class at college. She likes to Snapchat, and she likes to gross out her Aunt Terry. So I got some names and descriptions of body parts I didn't even know I had. I also got some real disgusting pictures. I'm very thankful for hair and skin and clothing. The body is a wreck. Our church is a body, and every part, every person has an important part to play. Some are like, whoa, like the worship team. And some are easily noticed for the job that they do, like sound and media. And some are like secret agents. The person who supplies me with Slim Jims for my students. The people who put containers of food in the freezer for the needy. Last week I saw John zipping in and out of every aisle, picking up those little announcement cards. And I realized I have no idea who cleans this place. It's a secret agent in my book. I know we have prayer warriors who come specifically seeking who God wants them to pray for. We have men and women who make it their business to make people feel welcome. We have women who have devoted their time and talents to being on the women's ministry team. In the youth, we have teenagers stepping into their purpose. Michael and Weston are always here early and help Brad and Caitlin set up. I've noticed several making sure to talk with and include everybody. 9 times out of 10, if somebody spills something, if Sophie's around, she's the first one to start cleaning it up. Do you know how Henry got to be the keeper of the door? He saw a need and started taking care of it. This is our church. This is our body. We belong to one Christ. And if you ask God what your function is, if you're not already sure, He'll tell you. And it may be something you think is too simple or doesn't matter, but I guarantee you it's important to the kingdom. One of my things, even as an adult, was to hold hands with my mama. Even in my 50s, I remember laying on the bed beside her. Holding her hand. And several weeks ago, Joe and Marion and I arrived at the same time. As usual, Joe hugged me. And Marion hugged me, kissed me on the cheek. And then she slipped her hand in mine. And we walked across the parking lot. And I doubt she has any idea what that meant to me. Some are called to go to Honduras and Ghana and Latvia. Some are called to give hugs and make meals and put up chairs and everything in between. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, Paul was talking to bond servants, and in verse 23 he said, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to man." Many people don't consider themselves as having a personal mission field, but we all do. So many people want to be like Lisa Turkhurst or what's that other Stephen's name? Burdick? Or one of those big, wow names, famous. But that's not what most of us are called to. Right. Most of us are called right here to our people that we come into contact every day. So, my mission field is obvious because I work at a Christian drug rehab. Although separation of church and state sometimes gets in the way, Elizabeth and all our other public school teachers have an obvious mission field. Heather and all the other stay-at-home moms have an extremely important mission field. And don't get me started on nurses. Wow. Our youth, especially at East Central Middle School and high schools, have gotten a close-up look at their mission field and have been taking it seriously this year. But what about our Chevron workers and Ingalls workers and bank workers and all our bug killers? We all, as long as there's one person who doesn't know Jesus, we have a mission field. And if everybody is saved, awesome, then we have a discipleship field. So no matter who you are or where you work, you have a mission field. In John 4, Jesus talks about sowing and reaping. Sometimes it's our job to sow the seed. Sometimes it's our job to plant it. That is sowing. Water it. And sometimes it's our job to reap it. And some of us get to do a little fertilizing. If we walk with Jesus, he will show us what to do and when to do it. Okay, here we go. It's hot. I don't know how you stand it up here. Two and a half years ago, I got a 17-year-old guy in my GED class. He was pitiful. He was homeless. CPS brought him to us from the county jail. The drugs were not out of his system. He could barely read. Heck, he could barely hold his head up. I was pretty new to the job of dealing with drug addicts and didn't really have much hope for him for those first few days. But God taught me a long time ago that if he puts somebody in my class, there's a reason for it. And so, if nothing else, God had sent me this boy to love. Have you ever seen a dog or a cat that's been mistreated but has learned to stay alive? That was this kid. And so, little by little, one slow movement at a time, the people at the Home of Grace started building that trust. I remember the first time God told me to give him a hug. He was on his way to the door to leave, and I said something like, "Hey, how about a hug?" He stopped, let me hug him while he moved not a muscle, and then walked out. He got saved and baptized sometime later, turned 18, thought he could handle it all on his own, and went back to the old life. On our way to work one day, Terry and I saw him on the side of the road, and God proceeded to teach us all a few things. The boy learned that we still loved him. Terry and I learned not to pick up drug addicts, no matter how well you think you know them. There are too many unknowns. The boy still lectures me about this regularly. While he was out, he did some dumb stuff and got some big boy charges, which returned him to jail. God and I had some very frank discussions about the boy being in jail. I wanted him out. God said, "Terry, do you trust me with the boy?" And I said, "Yes, I trust you, but you know those people in the..." "Terry, do you trust me?" "God, I trust you. You know I trust you. But he..." "Terry, do you trust me?" "Yes, Lord. I trust you." So I started writing to him at the jail. The Home of Grace got him brought back for another round. This time he was clean and acting like a typical teenage boy, equal parts hilarious, loving, and infuriating. He took the reading part of the GED and failed because he didn't listen to me. So then right after Christmas 2022, we came back to work and were told the deputy was coming to take him to jail to serve some of his time. That hit like a punch in the gut. But I remembered that I can trust God, even if I don't like the method. Yes. You don't cry like this up here. You're the standard. Well, that broken, skittish, abused puppy from a year before sauntered into my classroom and said, "Well, Miss Terry, I came by to give you a hug and tell you I love you before I go." It was hours before transport came for him. So he kept coming by to hang out, chat, eat our Slim Jims and candy. Always before this last jail stint, I referred to him as baby boy on Facebook. But during the process of writing to him twice a week, God told me his new name was Man of God, and that's how I addressed every letter to him. And I filled every page with scripture because he loves the word. And I wrote about normal, mundane life, the kind I'd like him to have one day. I told him about playing hide and seek with my brother's dog, how we ate at Sim's house a pizza, how I rode to a ball game in a convertible with my BFF. Talked about studying Genesis in our small group, and he always got the Terry-ized version of Pastor Stephen's sermons. And finally, he came back a new man. 19 years old, still a teenage boy, but one who is serious about his future. Tired of being homeless. While getting him prepared to retake that reading test, I learned that if I can tie the skill into a biblical story or principle, I get his attention and he's more likely to remember. So one day he asked me what foreshadowing was. Well, I only know because my BFF is an English teacher. And I was like, God dropped it in my head. The whole Bible is like foreshadowing. I was like, oh, that's right. And so I said, okay, so here's the deal. This is foreshadowing. You know the Bible? And he was like, yeah. And so I told him that all those stories were foreshadowing the coming of Christ. He's never forgotten. A couple weeks ago, he retook the reading test and passed. Like I always do, I brought pizza. Megan brought cookies. This man of God walked in and said, "What's the pizza for?" Since this is a recurring habit of mine, for which he has partaken of many times, I said, "You know what it's for. You passed the reading test." And he just grinned. I have to have the Holy Spirit to do my job, and I suspect you do too. Thursday, Megan, a former student of mine and Terry's, and I offered some entertainment for the old ladies' campus. We played Home of Grace bingo, ministered to the ladies, and just had a good time. For 2 hours, the ladies relaxed and laughed and played cutthroat bingo. If you came to the women's party, you know. Though she's not my student, there was a lady that God laid on my heart in a big way. He gave me the name of a former high school student to have pray for this lady. So I messaged Nicole and explained the whole story. She said she'd be honored to pray for her. The next day, she asked for a name. I couldn't remember. So I asked God what name to give this prayer warrior. And he said, Lily. Because when she accepts Jesus, she will be Lily White. And Nicole was all in with that. So yesterday I told all this to my brother. And when I told him her name was Lily, the Holy Spirit hit him hard and confirmed it. I love my job. It's not always easy. We've lost some once they left. But I love to share Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father except through Him. I love to see the difference sobriety makes, but that's nothing compared to seeing the light come into their eyes once they know Jesus. So, I love that Pastor Stephen always asks, who's ready for the word? And that we almost always give a resounding applause. I couldn't go to church here if God's word didn't have such importance placed on it. It truly is living and active, as it says in Hebrews 4:12. The more I read it and study it, the more I see that God has got every situation covered. When I was a teenager, thought I knew everything, may have had a bit of a smart mouth. I was often pretty literal and would say that the Bible didn't cover every issue because it didn't say things like, thou shalt not sleep in class, or thou shalt not skip class, or thou shalt not shoot rubber bands in study hall. But as I grew wiser and older and learned more about the word, I began to realize that the whole idea was to have a relationship with Jesus and that the Bible is our guide that teaches about that relationship, teaches us about Him. When you start a relationship with the opposite gender, you typically want to learn every little thing you can about the other person. You want to learn what they like, what they don't like, what makes them happy or sad. You want to learn their joys, their triumphs, even the hard stuff. And all of that is right here, yes, in the Bible. Everything in this book points to Jesus and having a relationship with Him. When somebody new to the faith asks me what they should read first, I almost always tell them to start with the Gospels. And that's so that they can quickly learn who the real Jesus Christ is. The Jews and disciples expected the Messiah to be loud and bold, coming in like a military commander, taking over, conquering the Romans. But that's not the Messiah they got. They got that baby in a manger who grew into a boy doing boy things, but who was also the Son of God. He grew into a man doing man things, but also knowing His ultimate assignment on this earth. He came to love and to serve, to be sacrificed and to save. Every time I read one of the Gospels, I get a better picture of who my Savior is. And the better I get to know Him, the more I trust Him. I wholeheartedly recommend spending time daily reading His Word. We often say we're too busy or the Bible is too boring. Hogwash. We're not too busy. We're not prioritizing properly. It's almost 2024. The Bible is everywhere and free. I like a podcast called Through the Word. It gives like an 8 to 9 explanation of a chapter and then reads it to you. You read along with it. So even if you can't sit still, you can still listen. You can do it while you're driving. You can do it while you're cooking breakfast. EB is part of a group that has gone through the New Testament in a year. They text each other comments and questions after doing the lessons. This group has meant so much to her that I've had periods of jealousy because I didn't join. Yeah. If you want to memorize scripture, write it on note cards and post them where you'll see them frequently. One of my places is on the wall facing the toilet. Others post them on the door they always pass through. Some people put them on the mirror. Greg plays the Bible out loud while he's sleeping. The time is coming when we may not have such easy access to the Word of God. Several years ago, I met a lady named Margaret Nicole. She was born into a pastor's family in communist Bulgaria. There were strict penalties for preaching. Her mother was jailed and imprisoned. Her father killed. Her brother was arrested and killed. Oh, her mother was poisoned, not prisoned. Probably was too. Margaret was a world-renowned violinist who defected to Austria and then to the U.S. When she came to the U.S., she had what she was wearing, her violin, and one page of the Bible that had been given to her. One church member had managed to save a Bible and tore out pages and gave to each person. And Margaret had that page until she died. Can you imagine? Having access to only one page of the Bible. There's so many things all through it. One page is not enough for me. I personally use Google and the Bible app YouVersion throughout the day to look up scripture. I mean, you always got to have a little snack. You always need something. I especially use it on days I deal with the man of God. Sometimes he likes to quiz me, so I try to be current on what he's studying. Most often I need the word to correct or encourage a student, or maybe myself. It always amazes me how God will bring a portion of scripture to mind as a student is sharing with me. We have a guy who is one of the most hard-headed, negative focused, self-sabotaging people I've ever met. Does he have a hard past? Yes. Does it break my heart? Absolutely. But that's the past, man. God has brought you to the home of grace. You've got a campus full of people who love you. You've given your heart to Jesus. He's forgiven you. Even if he never does another thing for you, you're going to heaven, man. We've had so many conversations about Proverbs 6:2, which says, "You are snared by the words of your mouth." Proverbs 18:21, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." James 3:5 through 6, "The tongue is a small part of the body, but it can corrupt the whole body." Yikes. God spoke the world into existence. I'm not God, but he has given me power. And I must be careful about the words I speak. Am I perfect at it? Heck no. I say the wrong thing regularly, but I think I've learned a few things and I'm getting better. I think one of God's biggest issues with me is getting me to learn when to keep my trap shut. But on the other side of that, I think that one reason I seem to be fairly successful with my students is because he taught me to be a cheerleader. And I look for the things that are positive in them and try to point them out. And we had a women's night at Kaylee's and Stephen's, I guess, sometime in December. And we pointed out to each of the women things that we saw in them. And that's what I try to do to my students. Most of you know I'm God's favorite. But I didn't always know that. I grew up with a lot of negativity and criticism. My focus was typically on the negative. Then I became friends with Elizabeth, whose focus is typically on the positive. And I liked that. And so I started making it a habit to look for the good stuff. And that's how I found out I'm God's favorite. He's always there working things out for my good. Is my life perfect and carefree? No. While I do get a lot of great parking spots, in 2023, I had windpipe surgery, 4 eye procedures, a leak in the shower, a rusted out water heater, a broken alternator, a keeled dead battery, and a whole bunch of other things. But through all of those negative things, I was blessed by Greg and his wife, who toted me to Hattiesburg for the eye surgeries. Marion made soup for me that was easy on my throat. I was introduced to a man who charged me a whopping $25 to rescue me twice, change out my alternator, and then get me a $50 discount on a battery and put it in. $25 for all that. I got to show Jesus love to the man and his family who took care of my water issues. That's all a big story of God putting pieces together. I love to see God's handiwork. It's there all the time. Look for it. He's blessed us with so many good things. One of my favorite verses, 2 Corinthians 10:5. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Think about that. Get that mental picture. Going back to my student who is so negative, if he would start taking thoughts captive, it might look a little like this. I'm too stupid to learn this. Oh, really? That doesn't sound at all like what Christ says about you. Get out the ropes and bind that thought up. Tie those hands and feet tight. Oh, he's still telling you you're stupid? Stuff this gag in his mouth. The enemy will learn to obey Christ. Here, stuff him in this box and weld it shut. We don't need to hear that again. I use this verse regularly. The mind is a battlefield, and we must stand up and fight. Put on that armor of God. And I don't mean just think, oh, I need to put on the armor of God. Every day we got to suit up with every piece. Go through each item piece by piece. As a Marine, Clayton has a lot of gear. I'm pretty sure he doesn't show up for a battle wearing t-shirt and shorts. Can you imagine him say, hey, Sarge, I got to go back to the base and get my helmet. Oh, and I forgot my rifle. Doesn't work that way. We got to be ready. Make sure you're ready. We've got to be prepared and stay prepared. And we do that by staying in the Word and continually building our relationship with God. So, who's ready for the Word of God?
Oh, man. Thank you, Miss Terry. Very amazing. You know, a few months ago, I was preaching about the wisdom in the house. And I think there's a lot of wisdom. There's a lot of stories. There's a lot of life in this place. And so when we were joking back and forth and I realized, like, I think she wants to preach. God reminded me of that, though. He reminded me of what I had said from here. And if I'm going to say it, then I need to stand by what I said. And as I'm sitting down there listening to you, and I'm hearing the reaction of everybody and just realizing that it's real and it's not just a message, it was your life, that we've got to have more opportunities for that, that there are a lot more of you in this room that need to be heard, and you need to have an opportunity to share. And I think this is going to be the year to make that happen. Although you did preach in 2023.
I did.
But you paved the way for 2024. Okay, I just want to make sure I got that straight from you. You know, I was thinking this week, I kind of posted on Facebook talking about how last week was Christmas, and then that Jesus is now, according to the calendar, a week old, right? Right. So, and he's worthy to be celebrated at 1 week old, just as he was when he was born, right? But then I started thinking about Mary sitting there. Like, can you imagine, like, you're going to have the Savior of the world. And she's so excited about the Savior of the world coming. And she's going to be the one who transforms her whole people and the whole world. You know, she's going to be the one to lead Christ into the earth. Like, that's powerful. And then a week in, Jesus has been born and she's sitting there. You know what happened between him being born and a week later? Do y'all remember? Nothing. Nothing. She's sitting there with this baby and nothing has happened. Like, she doesn't know that, like, the way we look at our calendar has changed. She doesn't know that. Like, she doesn't know what's coming. She doesn't know what Jesus is going to do or what he's going to look like or his voice. I always look forward to my kids getting older so I can start hearing their voice, start hearing them talk, and start hearing them, how they would respond to me. She doesn't know any of those things. So she's sitting there with Jesus and nothing has changed at all. Nothing. Like, the world hasn't changed. No one's saved yet. She's just sitting there. And I was thinking, as Terry was listing off all the parts of the body of Christ and all the things that she's done, I just started putting that into context. That so many times, God has called us and put something on our heart to do something. And you are so excited to receive the call and you're so excited to hear what God has for you. And there you are a week later and you're sitting there with this baby, this gift that God has given you, and yet nothing has changed. And there you are 6 months later and all it has done is made a mess of your life. You don't really know what's going on. Nothing around you has changed. And God just says, hey, wait, he's birthed something in your life, but it hasn't grown yet. And a lot of you have been holding on to something for so long and you're like, well, God gave me this, but it's not mature yet. Like, it's not there yet. Like, I haven't been able to use it yet. I'm going to tell you, you keep holding on to what God has put in your life. He's going to use it. He's going to use you. This place, again, has been called a recycling bin to take people that once was active in ministry and reactivate them in ministry. You keep holding on. We have been praying for opportunities. I know Jeff, my biggest fan, sitting on the front row right here. I didn't even preach this morning. Yet this is the day you sat on the front row. Unbelievable. I don't know what that says about you. I don't know. You know, I know what it says about me. I don't know what it says. No, I'm kidding. But Jeff came to me earlier and he said, hey, like, I have some things I want to teach. And I just looked back at him and said, look, we're trying to create opportunities for that to be heard, right? For everybody to have an opportunity to share wisdom. I remember, like, when I was 15 years old, I didn't really go to church, but I started going to church when I was 12. Somebody invited me to go to a youth group. And at 15 years old, I felt a call into ministry. Now, again, I didn't have a background of church. I didn't really understand all those things. But at 15 years old, I felt God was calling me to ministry. My dad passed away shortly after that. And then I kind of saw a path that God was taking me on. But, you know, at 15 years old, I didn't become a pastor. And it wasn't for another 5 years that I would go into ministry and become a pastor. It might be 5 years, 10 years, whatever it is. God has put something in you to be used and to be heard. Amen. So first off, thank you so much, Terry, for being with me. I can't wait. I can't believe you waited like a full day to start preparing, you know, but it didn't show, you know, at all. So thank you. There will be a nap. I do this all the time, and I rarely take naps, Terry. Thank you. Can y'all give it up for Terry again this morning? I want to do two things. First off, I want to open the floor if anybody wants to share anything, and then we're going to have a prayer here in a minute. I know we got a few people that are sick today. And I know Pastor Dick is sick and are not feeling well. And I know we have a few others. We're going to pray over them. But does anybody in the house want to share anything else? You have something on your heart? Here we are, the last day of the year.
I want to say one thing. Thank you, Terry, for making me
laugh. You're welcome. Was that the goal? I didn't. I always joke that you know how good a women's event is by how much crying happened. But I didn't know that was the goal of today. So, anybody else? Yep, absolutely. Come on, there's so much wisdom in this house. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, come on.
I just want to say thank you to God for bringing us here. The first Sunday of January, that's when we joined. And we are so excited. We are so happy. We are so blessed being part of you. Now you'll be part of us. And thank God for his goodness every day. So God bless you all. Have a blessed new year.
Just to clarify, y'all been a part of Life Church for a long time. But Life Church Hurley. When was it officially? January? Okay. Perfect. Yeah. Okay. Got it. Anybody else? All right. Anybody need prayer? Anybody want to pray for anybody that's sick this morning? All right. So Miss Dorothy's going to come up. She's going to stand in place for Brother Dick, who has not been feeling well this week. A little bit of fever, just some little things going on. And I know there's been others. Amanda Golden's sick. Oh, that's right. Michelle was saying her whole family's sick. I'm like, look at you though, Michelle, holding it down for the whole row. You just read every bulletin on that row. Just, you know. All right. Anybody else? You can come up here, Michelle, if you want to, if you want to stand in for your family. No, you don't have to. I'm not making you care about your family. All right. That's, why? Anybody else? Perfect. All right, church, will you stand to your feet and reach your hands this way, and we'll pray for Michelle's family regardless, and pray for Brother Dick. The Ladner family. All right, come on. Raise your hands this way, church. Lord, we thank you so much for your power and glory. Lord, we come to you because we know who you are. We know what you declare over us. And so, Lord, that's what we declare over ourselves this morning. Lord, we pray for Pastor Dick, who has just been going through it this week. Lord, every little thing that the enemy would attack us with, Lord, we declare in the name of Jesus that you have no power and no authority over our bodies. You do not belong around us. You cannot speak over us. What God has spoken is what we declare over our own lives, that we are healthy and we are whole. We are his. We are children of the Most High God, and you cannot come into our family. You must leave in the name of Jesus this morning. We pray over Pastor Dick. We pray over the whole Golden family, Lord, for the children and for mom and dad, everybody, Lord, for the kids in the house that we keep hearing about have been sick this season. Lord, the world might say, hey, look, it's seasonal, it's cold, it's this or that. Lord, we know what it is. Lord, you did not design this perfect earth with sickness in mind. We know that the enemy stepped in and created these things. So Lord, we speak what you spoke. Lord, we pray for purity in this place. We pray for purity in our households. We pray for your word to be spoken over every single person in our household. Lord, and we declare those things. We walk into our household knowing the word of God and what you've spoken. We walk in knowing that the Spirit of God walks in with us. And if we see things, we declare what you spoke over them. Lord, we thank you so much for a glorious day in the house, Lord, and your word. Lord, simple things in this place. Lord, we thank you for a heart of a woman who did not prepare for one day or 2 days, but who's been preparing her whole life to proclaim, Lord, who you are and what you've done in her life. Lord, we thank you for the goodness that you have showered her on with. Lord, we know that she was not telling the truth when she said that she was your favorite. Lord, we know that we are all, in fact, Lord, God's favorite in this place. Lord, and we thank you for a life well lived in your presence, Lord. Lord, we pray for more overflowing wisdom in this house, Lord. We pray for confidence of people to stand up and declare the goodness of God, for people to say, hey, I'm next. I want the pulpit next. Lord, not for selfish ambition or gain, not to look good, but something that is such a burden that is on their heart, Lord, that is burning within their soul, saying, I've got to get this out, and I've got to let people know who my God is. I've got to tell them what God has done in my life, Lord. That's what we pray for in this place. Lord, we pray for more joy and rejoicing and even more crying, Lord, because our hearts have melted, our hearts have opened up and heard your word, Lord, in such a pure way. And we thank you, Lord, for being such a good God in 2023, Lord. And we know that you're going to be the same in 2024, Lord. Thank you that your word never changes and that you continue to declare who we are in this place. Lord, we love you so very much. And in the name, the righteous, precious, holy name of Jesus, we pray in this place. And everybody said, amen, amen. I tell you what, we got a few minutes. We walk around and just love on somebody and encourage somebody on your way out this morning. Happy New Year.
Thanks again for listening to our audio podcast. If you would like to find out more about our church, you can visit us at life-church.org.